This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, from conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:15 now, some patchy fog about. Be aware of that. 58 degrees. Feeling a little bit cooler than that to me, maybe because of the humidity. I don't know. Highs today of 79, 81 tomorrow, 78 on Thursday. A chance for showers Friday afternoon, 76 for a high. 90% chance for rain on Saturday, but the crawfish boil championships go on. Rain or shine, and we'll see what happens with the Irish Channel St. Patrick's Day Parade. High Sunday of 84, and we're getting into April, and that means it's going to start turning hot and humid. Vicki Salemi joins us now, career expert for Monster. How are you, Vicki? Vicki?
Yes, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So here we are some years after COVID, and it seems like the whole world was turned upside down, topsy-turvy. Are we anywhere back to where we were before COVID in terms of employer, employee, and balance of power or supply and demand?
No, the pendulum keeps on moving. So it's an exciting space to be in terms of the supply and demand. You know, companies are still hiring and there's still conversations about working remotely versus back in the office and flexibility with hours. And what we've seen consistently through the constant change with Monster, we're seeing a lot of demand for flexibility. So that has not changed. That continues to be top of mind and a hot topic.
When you say flexibility, you mean as far as hours or working from home or what?
All of the above, Tommy. It's really, you know, people think about working from home or hybrid situation, but also when they work. If they're back in the office, maybe it's more flexible hours, four-day work weeks, variations on it.
We know that there have been some things in the news lately about going back to the office and so forth. What is the trend among the leading companies or in the job market overall? Because I can make a case for both ways. I could see where maybe people would be more productive after COVID, and employers realize that. But employers also realize that, you know what, we're saving a lot of money by not maintaining these offices. Or at least supplying these offices or having as big of an office. So there's a case to be made on both sides. How's it playing out in the real world?
Both ways, actually. It depends on the company as well as the industry, as well as if the company has, say, an expensive lease, that they have empty offices and they're paying for that lease. And they feel also that productivity is key in the office. But, no, I think the sweet spot is for companies and workers to see where they are most productive, and that might be a combination, like going into the office for valuable meetings, but also realizing maybe this doesn't need to be a meeting. Maybe this can be a 5-minute call or an email exchange to really value everyone's time to see what is most effective. And it's helpful for job seekers too, so they know if they don't enjoy or they don't thrive in their current situation, that other companies, there are options at other companies.
Where are the jobs now, Vicki?
You know, in terms of industry, among the top jobs every month, I get a list from Monster with the top 10 most frequent jobs, most in demand. And I've seen them in healthcare. It consistently comes up, such as physical therapist, nurse, registered nurse. There are other jobs in terms of truck drivers. There's a demand for that. And office managers, business managers. So in a variety of different industries. So if I was a job seeker, I would look at these job descriptions in terms of what the requirements are and work backwards to see where are your current skills, where do you need to be, and how you can get those skills and experiences to land those jobs.
One question I get from people constantly on text line whenever you come on and consistently is, how do I forecast for my child who is now 10 or 15 where the jobs are going to be 10, 15 years from now, what they should study, what they should major in, what they should go into? What does the future portend?
It's such an interesting topic, Tommy, because so much has changed. I mean, we were having this conversation 20 years ago, social media wouldn't come up. So things keep changing. So I think the number one thing is to be nimble. And also number two is for their child to have them explore different interests, because you don't want to just pursue a job, let's say, or a path because it's in demand. If you, let's say, faint at the sight of blood, you're not going to be the best nurse and you won't enjoy it either. So it's, you know, it's important to also develop valuable soft skills that you can get in any job. And that's, you know, having a strong work ethic. I know you and I have talked about this a while when we talk about differences in the various generations. It's a work ethic, empathy, listening, problem-solving skills, communication skills. So I would focus on them developing those vital skills in addition to the technical aspects of various industries and jobs.
When it comes to, well, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. We're talking to Vicky Salemi, career expert from Monster. Apparently, there's the bump that was there for people hopping from job to job is disappearing. So we'll talk about that, about lateral moves, et cetera. Is it better to move or sticking with your current company? And also about the trend of, you know, it's cliche now to say it's not like it used to be in terms of pensions and people staying with one company. But how long is too long to stay with a company? And is it important to be mobile now as a young person manages their career? Or do they want to try to build up some tenure? 821 Traffic WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Vicky Salemi, our friend, the career expert for Monster, about a Wall Street Journal story saying that the bump that people were experiencing post-COVID for skipping or moving around from jobs to jobs has kind of disappeared or leveled out. Vicky, you know, back in the day, people would say that if people move from job to job, that they had a problem and why were you moving constantly? Why did you stay with this person for that long? But it seems as though the script may have been flipped. And now if you stay with a company for so long, maybe the future employers are saying, well, why were you there so long? Why didn't you move around? Has the whole thing changed?
It has changed, Tommy, and I'm so glad that we're talking about this. There used to be a stigma around, quote-unquote, job hopping. Mm-hmm. When I was in recruiting for years, if anyone on their resume had a job or an employer for less than 2 years, it was a red flag. It was like, okay, they are a flight risk. Now, the opposite is true, and I'm not saying that it's okay to job hop every 6 months consistently, but if you do stay with a company, let's say 10, 15, 20 years, there can be somewhat of a stigma with that because employers may assume that you don't have the ability to learn new skills. You may be stagnant. Again, it's all assumptions, but they would prefer you having, let's say, three employers over 15 years rather than one.
When it comes to moving from job to job, does it matter if you move up with the same company?
Usually, you mean, does it matter to the employer when they're looking at your resume?
Right, right. In the future, like, okay, I was with the same company for 15 years, but I did move up 5 times. So in essence, I moved, just not with different companies.
Yeah, that's important because you can show growth with that as well as new skills and staying relevant compared to, let's say, if you had lateral moves or the same job the entire time. And I do want to talk about lateral moves. Let's say if you are with the same company, but you go to another company and then that's on your resume, that's not a red flag because you may look for a new job for a variety of reasons. And that lateral move to another company may position you better for an upward trajectory, new skill set, et cetera.
So when it comes to negotiating power and moving jobs, has the power shifted from employer to employee? Whose market is it?
Yeah, it keeps going. It's slightly back and forth, and I should say employers are still hiring, and there's still a talent shortage, but 50% of workers from Monster Data say it's harder to look for or find a job as companies cut costs, because they're one of the main reasons why people usually leave to get a new job elsewhere is to earn more money. And their expectations are right now 95% of workers said their current wages have not kept up with the rising cost of living. This is also Monster Data. So if they're driven to get another job externally, they're trying to negotiate, the employer may say, we just don't have that type of increase. It might be a 3% or 5% increase from what you're earning now. So even though job seekers have power in negotiating, their expectations may not meet what the reality is.
Somebody texted in that they've been looking for a job, a new job. They're currently employed, but it seems as though companies now offering big titles, but not necessarily more money. Thoughts?
Yeah, that is. I'm not surprised to hear that. So it's important for that person to leverage that title and tap into what the company provides. Let's say internal training, resources. How can that worker bolster their skill sets, learn something new so they can be more marketable elsewhere, and then also talk to their boss at some point throughout the year and say, you know, hopefully I can get a pay increase. What does that look like? What's the timing?
Thank you, Vicki. A pleasure as always. Vicki Salemi, career expert for Monster. We'll take a break. Speaking of jobs, we'll talk with Susan Bourgeois, Louisiana Economic Development Secretary, about the announcement yesterday about Hyundai investing $5.8 billion for a steel facility in Ascension Parish. 8:30 time now. WWL First News. 8:45, quarter till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this Tuesday morning. Good news yesterday for Louisiana about Hyundai and a big steel mill in Louisiana. And here to talk all about it, Susan Bourgeois, Louisiana Economic Development Secretary. Good morning, Madam Secretary. How are you?
I'm well, Tommy. Thanks for having me this morning.
Thanks for taking the time. Tell me the genesis. Well, I guess let's start with what exactly was announced for people that missed it, and then we'll go back and talk about the genesis of it.
Sure. So what we announced yesterday at the White House, which was a whole new level of announcements for Louisiana.
Mm. Were you there or not?
I was, yes. I did. I was able to go. Yeah, it was. Yes.
A thrill,
it really,
huh?
It was a thrill for me, certainly personally, but I do mean this. I think it was a as big of a thrill, if not bigger, for our whole team and for Louisiana. The fact that Louisiana was on a world stage announcing something like this, you know, it's changing the narrative, which I keep talking about the importance of us at Louisiana Economic Development and really all of Louisiana changing the narrative about the opportunity. And so when you have the president talking about an announcement on this scale, you are changing the narrative in a way that's not local, that's not national. In fact, it's international. So what we did announce, Tommy, was a Hyundai Motor Group, Hyundai Steel Company, which is a subsidiary of Hyundai Motor Groups, which is all Hyundai and Kia and Genesis vehicles, is going to build and operate a steel plant on the Mississippi River in Donaldsonville, the west bank of Ascension Parish, about a $6 billion capital investment. But as importantly as that to me, Tommy, is that the long-term commitment to jobs, this is a massive jobs opportunity. It's about 1,500 permanent jobs at the facility and 4,000 to 5,000 construction jobs while they build. So just, you know, again, it's our mission at LED to be building opportunity for prosperity and wealth creation for the people of Louisiana, and it's just another example of the win we've had in that space.
How did something like this, you know, I always make the example, Susan, of if you go to a PTA meeting, the chairs don't set themselves up, right? And that's the simplest example I can give of stuff just doesn't happen. Take me to the genesis of this. When did the idea first start, the teamwork that was involved, et cetera? How do you go about even beginning to get Hyundai to invest $5.8 billion in a Louisiana steel mill?
Yeah, so, you know, every project is different. And I will say this one was highly competitive, highly complicated, You know, the company works with consultants is oftentimes the way this process will happen. The company, particularly one, an international company that doesn't have as much of a domestic presence from a corporate perspective, they hired consultants. And those consultants, and this is the part that I really want people in Louisiana to hear, they started out with 70 potential locations for this project, 7-0. About 15 months ago is when we started this process. And we went through proposal after proposal, and every time a question or a concern or a challenge arose.
Wait, tell me again, Susan, I missed that part. How far? What?
15 months, about 15 months ago. We've
okay.
been and we have been working
Wait,
this
it came together that quickly?
Then.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but 15 months this thing came together or not?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. The RFP. You know, again, I don't want to do too much inside baseball speak, but the request for proposals from the consulting company, which basically says, provide us all the opportunities you would have for this kind of acreage, this kind of site, this kind of workforce, and we responded about 14 or 15 months ago, and that's when it began. And this was highly competitive. There were sites all over the South. We don't know exactly where they were, but there were sites certainly all over the South, Texas, Alabama, other places. And we competed. And Louisiana competed aggressively to not just show the infrastructure and the ability we would have to perform the way the company would want us to, but we also competed in just the philosophy of this administration about making Louisiana a business-friendly place where it's easy for people to come here and succeed, because when they succeed, we succeed. And all those things have become real palpable to the company, and ultimately we ended up winning this project. So groundbreaking next year, 1,500 jobs thereafter, and really remarkable transformational project for Ascension, for the West Bank of Ascension. We couldn't be happier.
One thing that I did get text about, people wondering how set in stone is this, how committed is Hyundai to this, and is this going to turn out to be everything that they're saying it's going to be? Hyundai, I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw, I think when you announced something in the West Wing with the president making the announcement and the chairman of the company alongside him, it's pretty serious. I mean, we are formally down this process. I will say that. You know, we have every – this is going to happen. You know, this isn't a hypothetical we might get this Hyundai steel mill. This is going to happen. The company has invested tremendous resources in getting to the point to make this decision. The state has, our partners, and – gosh, Tommy, when I tell you the partners involved in this and sort of this whole of Louisiana approach that we have taken to economic development, from our local economic development partners to the private sector, you know, these folks came in, they brought in engineers. They didn't understand the Louisiana soil real well, right? So they wanted to have confidence that frankly, the banks of the Mississippi River could support a steel mill. Right. And so the Louisiana engineers, the Louisiana piling companies, the amount of people who have been in the process helping us do their due diligence and the testing. This was a whole of Louisiana approach again, and a really heavy lift. And we got it.
So the I's are dotted, T's are crossed. The signatures are on the lines that are dotted.
That's correct.
Good. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up and talk about when we come back about building on this, because this is a huge deal, man. This is great. 851, 9 till 9. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. 57 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Susan Bourgeois, Louisiana Economic Development Secretary. Somebody texted in, Susan. I think it's a fair text about film tax industry. Film industry always in the spotlight when it comes to tax credits. How do we know this is a good deal for the state, and that we're not giving up more than we're getting? And I will piggyback on that with, it is an extremely competitive environment when it comes to attracting business. And I will ask you, what did the state have to give up, and how do we know, bottom line, on the back end, this is a good deal for the taxpayers?
Are we talking about the steel mill, Tommy, still? Or
yes.
Are you talking about different incentives?
No, they talked about film credits. I'm just saying, I think it's a fair question. So go ahead.
Sure. So, Two important elements to the deal, if you will. Number one is the state is making a pretty significant investment up front to get this project, but the investment is in infrastructure in Louisiana. As you can imagine, a project of this size needs rail, right? It needs roads. It needs docks, right? It needs all the physical infrastructure to be able to support a steel plant. So the biggest portion of our investment is going into roads, docks, rail, and training, by the way. A $30 million campus for the West Bank of River Parish's Community College, which is going to be critical for that community in the long run, right? The training center to be able to train those 1,500 employees and put them to work. And so most of Louisiana's investment in this space is specifically into Louisiana infrastructure that makes the project possible. You know, there's another piece that this is always a tool in any economic development project, but it's called performance-based grants. And so if the company delivers on what it says it's going to do, then the company will get grants to pay them back for additional investment they're making in the state. So it balances their performance and how much money they spend on infrastructure in the state, and we give them money back towards that after they do it.
So can you tell me what's
there
next?
There is always what? I'm sorry?
The next project? I'm just kidding. I know you're working on something. We'll talk to you again soon.
I can tell you what's next. I can tell you that we do. Look, I
hang on one second.